I can understand on a very deep level. My whole life I've had cerebral palsy, so I can understand on a very deep level body shame, and I can understand on a very deep level what it feels like to feel different or to not be confident in your body.
Welcome to the Three Steps to Thrive podcast, where each show will show you three simple, practical, and actionable steps to improve your life or your business. Now, here's your host, James Lamb. And guess what? That's me.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. My name is James Lamb from Three Steps to Thrive. I'm thrilled to have Amber Wise from Fit Ladies Bootcamp on the show today. Say hello, Amber.
Hi, everyone.
So I met Amber a couple weeks ago at a mastermind, and I'm super impressed. You know, a lot of the times we bring on really big shot entrepreneurs with who've been doing this for years, but realistically, Amber, you haven't been doing it for that long. But we always have a new and novel category, and I love having you on here. And not only that, but I'm sure at some point in time you will be a big shot. So I might as well get you on the interview while you are still with us like this. Anyways, let me tell you a little bit about Amber. She is a military wife, mother of four, and owner of the founder of Fit Ladies Bootcamp. She is a proud, body confident woman, and realistically, that's her goal, to get other ladies to lose weight and feel great in their own skin as well. One of the interesting things is Amber has cerebral palsy, and you wouldn't know it to look at her. And I didn't realize that till I actually read her bio just a few minutes ago. So this is going to be an interesting conversation. But when she was two and she was diagnosed, she was never expected to run, never expected to ride a bike, never expected to swim. And she's done, you know, you can't tell she has CP. And not only that, she has a successful business. And not only that, she has a successful business in what? As a physical boot camp. So good on you. Let me tell you a little bit more. We'll get to your questions, Amber, because I know you know all about you. But after a divorce, felt like her life was in chaos, she found herself focusing on physical health, because a lot of times, I guess, that's what we do. We focus on things we can focus. But a lot of the, you know, because of her CP, she had trouble moving properly. But then she got her health back on track just to become pregnant again. And during the pregnancy or afterwards, she developed hypothyroidism. Is that right, Amber?
Yes, that's correct.
And she put on weight like crazy. And it was a tough time for her, because I know, Amber, you know, knowing you, you are a hard worker. And it's one of those times where it sounds like it doesn't matter how hard you work, you could not lose the weight. And that's what it came down to. But what this led her to is a deeper understanding and compassion for all women she's helping. So you started doing home workouts, and that's when the baby weight dropped. And that's when you knew you had something special and you had to share it. So Fit Ladies Bootcamp works together, where it's an online program, work together with busy moms, working women, older women, women with disabilities, any and all women are welcome with open arms. And her motto is, you can do hard things. And Amber believes that women should feel good about themselves, and taking care of your body doesn't have to be hard. So welcome, Amber, after that long intro, but it's all good. So welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you, James, for having me. Golly, you made me feel so good just reading that. You have a way with words, James. What? And I just want to say thank you for having me on, because I just think the world of this man. James, I just think you are so intelligent, and I'm just so excited to just have this time to just chat with you. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks. That's really sweet. And let me tell you right now, Amber, flattery will get you everywhere, just absolutely everywhere. But let's talk about your story. One thing, I'm going to start with hard questions right away. Okay. So a lot of time to throw people like low hanging fruit, and you're like, what do you do? No, not for you. I'm going to give you a hard one right away. So I took what you wrote in your bio and I chunked it down. But here's something that the audience doesn't know. When you you don't highlight your cerebral palsy at all. In fact, it is like a footnote. I had to dig in there, and I think it's on like the 8th paragraph of 12 paragraphs you gave me. Is there a reason why? Like, is it something? Because here I am in my chair, and I'm thinking, I think you're amazing anyways, but the fact that you actually went through cerebral palsy to build all this amazing stuff and have a business focused on physicality is amazing. Right? So was there a reason why you haven't highlighted it?
That's a great question, James. And so just in the last maybe 5 years, I've gotten super comfortable about talking about it. And I would hate to ever come off as somebody who is like, oh, look at me. I've had this hard time, when everyone has circumstances they have to go through in life. Maybe it's not a quote unquote disability, but everyone has hard things that they have to deal with in life. And so I am talking about it a lot more, because you can imagine growing up different. Well, in my world, at least, growing up different was never fun. And so it wasn't something that you talked about. It definitely wasn't something you bragged about. But now that I'm an older person and, you know, out of elementary school, so, you know, no one's going to throw their glue at me, then, you know, it got a lot easier to start talking about it. But it's not something that I feel like I'm just like everyone else. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's be honest. First of all, glue sticks hurt when you're like 7 years old, right? You're thrown with enough force. But let me ask you this question. Is this, you know, it's quote, CP is considered quote unquote, a quote unquote disability. That is what it's called, right? Whether you call it a disability, the old school is handicap, right? That was the old school terminology. Let me ask you this though. Do you see it as that? And my question is, because you have worked so hard, you now have unfailable belief in yourself and what you do. But it's because, maybe it's a little bit because you had this condition that you had to work extra hard to achieve where you are now.
Right. I believe everything works for good. I just believe that anything life throws at you, you can turn it around and make it something positive. And so, you know, to be honest, yeah, sometimes it absolutely still feels like a disability. Sometimes I record videos that's what I do for a living. And so sometimes when I'm editing those videos and posting them for the ladies in my group to work out next to me, I'll see my right knee cave in a little bit during a squat, and that's not proper form. Or I'll see my right arm bend when it should be straight. And those small things that probably other people don't notice as much can still, you know, get to me at times, because I have to work really hard to focus to keep that knee from caving in. So sometimes it does feel like it, but I've had it my entire life, so it's not something that I think about on the daily.
Okay. No, it's a really interesting thing. And you're right. Probably most people wouldn't actually realize that this is happening to you, right? But I think this is a really interesting point that you bring up as well. And then something that you and I have talked about a little bit, which is, you don't like letting people down. That is like one of your values. And I know that now, and you know that, and we're looking at another product for you. But one of the things you always want to do is essentially do the best you can, provide the best value for your clients, and really take a genuine and authentic approach. Tell me, because you get to know your clients really well, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me, are you a little bit of a psychologist when you train personally? Like when you go and do personal training, like people must come to you and say, I had a really hard day, or I'm really having a hard time getting up and moving. Tell me how you deal a little bit with that. And do you find this fulfilling?
Yes, absolutely. So I don't do a lot of one-on-one coaching anymore, but the coaching that I do, it always leads to some kind of psychology. I don't know if you've heard this before, James, but I read one time that people tell more to their personal trainer than they do to their hairdresser. And let's be real, I talk to my hairdresser. And especially when I was training one-on-one, I knew everything about each of my clients, and they're so special to me. But yes, having kind of a tough life has, I think, has definitely helped me to steer people in the right direction and to add as much value as possible, both, you know, in their personal lives and in their physical bodies.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because a personal trainer, when we think about personal trainer, what do you think of? You think of this, like, and I'm a super visual person, right? So I have this idea of like this person with just rippling biceps and just saying, don't let the pain get you down. Keep on going, you know, and that could be life. But I think the interesting thing about you, Amber, is you have a lot of empathy. And so when people tell you your problems, do you feel those? Do you feel what it's like to be them?
Yes. Yes. And that is why I got into this profession to begin with, because I can understand on a very deep level. My whole life I've had cerebral palsy, so I can understand on a very deep level body shame, and I can understand on a very deep level what it feels like to feel different or to not be confident in your body. And then, as you had already said, after having a baby, because my kids are very spread apart, but having a new baby in these last few years, that threw my body through another whirlwind. And I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism, which is where your thyroid doesn't do what it needs to properly do. And so you start gaining weight excessively. And so that portion of my life brought about, oh, wow, I really understand now women that say, hey, I really am trying, but I can't lose the weight. And so it definitely gives you a deeper level of understanding around people's pain.
Weight loss and fitness is a marathon, isn't it?
It is. It's a daily practice.
Yeah. Is it, what if someone hasn't been physical and they were interested in starting to get into it, what would you say? You know, we always, let me give you this analogy. We always, you know, January hits at the gym. What happens to the gym in January? Like a million people to send, and they have been saying that this is the year they're going to lose weight, this is the year they're going to get in shape, and they have been holding on to it since, well, February of the previous year, right? So it's like 11 months, and all of a sudden this day comes and they show up, and then it's almost like they overwork, don't they?
Yes, I think so. I'm actually reading this book right now. It's called The Compound Effect. And it talks about how people think that they can go into, in this example, a gym, mm-hmm. and you can work out for 7 hours, but you're not going to have the same results as someone who goes in 7 days a week and works out 1 hour.
Yeah.
And so I think there's so much wisdom in getting really consistent and being smart about what consistent looks like for you at this moment. Mm-hmm. And so someone brand new, I would say 20 minutes a day. You can do anything for 20 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And so how do you push your body in 20 minutes and then make yourself call it quits until tomorrow?
Yeah. Tell me about how that starts developing confidence. Because that's, you know, that's really where it starts, isn't it? It's kind of like if you do show up for 7 hours in the first day, you are going to die and not move the next day. Let's be honest, right? Where 20 minutes, it almost leaves you wanting more. And for those of you who have never gone to the gym, going to the gym is an epic journey. And I don't just mean showing up and trying to figure out how to do weights, which in itself is an epic journey, but you have to sign up. You have to go through what is arguably an embarrassing process to do that. You have to go in and figure out where the lockers are. Like all these things are new neural pathways being built. Is that what it's about though? Is it about coming in for 20 minutes saying, I can do this for 20 minutes and then coming in the next day for maybe 25 minutes and then just making it a habit, building self-belief into yourself?
Yes, I think so. That there's another book. I read a lot of books. There's another book that I just got done reading. It's called Spark, the Science of Exercise in the Brain. And that book is absolutely fabulous. It talks about, and if any of your listeners have children, then I highly suggest you tune into this part right here, because it talks about how if you work out, if you make your body physically active on the daily, then they put these PE classes before these kids' hardest classes. And these kids would go in and they would ace these tests that they were like failing before. And so basically the theory behind it is, not the theory, it's science at this point, is that when we stimulate our body, it actually stimulates our brain. And so you can actually become smarter by working out. Mm-hmm. And to answer your question about the consistency, I mean, I compare it to, because I'm a parent of four kids, I compare it to raising children. If you go babysit a child, you have a certain level of confidence because you spend a few hours with them. But if you've raised a 20-year-old, like my oldest, I'm pretty darn confident I can keep a kid alive for 20 years. And so it's the things that you do on the daily, long term, that build that confidence in you.
Mm. How does that translate into business or into life or into, you know, like all of a sudden, you know, it's an interesting thing, right? Because when we go around in life, and let's just imagine for a second, we are out of shape and we don't feel confident going to the gym. And that might reflect on other portions of our life, right? Like I said, business or family, or you don't have any self-confidence in who you are because you're just trying to get through. And then, so we start going to the gym and we start hitting our numbers, not just weight wise, but goal wise, right? Like maybe you decide your big thing is you want to run half an hour on the treadmill. Maybe your big thing is you want to squat a certain amount of weight, and you don't hit that right away. You work up to that. Does that translate into self-belief in other areas of our life, Amber?
I would absolutely say yes. In fact, if anyone comes to me and says they don't know where to start, they feel like their life is off track, or they feel like they want to get to the next level, even in business, I say, what does your workout routine look like? Because I've learned this trick over the years, James. If you want to up your business life, if you want to be more successful, then make a commitment for 30 days to challenge your body. Every day, don't do the regular routine. Just do a half a mile more. Do 20 squats more. Add a little bit more, because that confidence that you get from pushing your body a little bit more every single day makes you feel on top of the world. It has there's science behind it, but then there's just the whole, hey, I just ran 2 miles or whatever the goal was. That absolutely is going to show up in your business life, because you're like, if I can do this, then why can't I do this?
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, let's be honest, you can't, the best thing about running 2 miles, let's say it's 2 miles, right? For us Canadians, that's 5 kilometers, I believe. But let's assume it's 5 kilometers, 2 miles. The best thing about it is that you can't actually think about your business when you're running, because you're like, oh God, oh God, oh God. Like, it hurts, or I can't breathe, or, you know, this is really hard. Whatever.
Am I dying?
Whatever it is. But it's weird because it actually works. And that was the best thing back when we used to go to gyms, because we're recording when all the gyms are still semi-shut down or mostly shut down. That was the best thing about it, is that you would go, you would still work to improve yourself, but you wouldn't need to think about work. And it's a nice break, isn't it? Because we all need breaks. And if you're an entrepreneur, you know as well as I do, even when you're in bed and you're trying to sleep, it's just, you know, last night I had one of those nights where just things kept going back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, the gym provides a really nice mental break while you work on your body. Agreed?
Yes. Yeah. I ran my first half marathon when me and my husband were going through a divorce, because it was the thing that made me feel alive. And, you know, as a woman, it's at times it can be hard to feel just like yourself, because you get very caught up in maybe your business title, or maybe you get caught up in being a mother or a wife or a friend. And so for me, I started running, and that brought a sense of self to me, because when I'm out there running, I'm just Amber.
Yeah.
It's just me in the road.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, because all those things you said, you know, the title, a mother, or a significant other to somebody, those are all relationships implied based on somebody else's focus. Does that make sense? So where you are no longer you, you are somebody because of somebody else, which is really interesting in itself. Let me ask you this. You are, I have the utmost respect for you, right? You've worked hard, and you still continue to work hard, right? And I'm pretty sure it's one of those things where if your fitness routine falls aside, you know, CP can come kind of creep back into your life in more sinister ways than others. But, you know, being physical has been a big part of your life for a long time, and you always work hard. You're very empathetic. Let me ask you, what happened with your previous husband? What didn't work out? Could you not outwork the problem, or is it?
Yeah. He's a great man and he's a great father, but there were some personal issues on his side that are his personal issues that we tried to overcome, but we just couldn't, we couldn't get past those. So it wasn't, I tell people, it wasn't a marriage issue. It was a him issue. And he would tell you the same, you know, it's just one of those things. Sometimes you marry someone and you find out that there's some issues there that you can't really help.
Hmm. Did you look for something different with your new husband? Did you know your, let me ask you this question. Out of this divorce, did you learn something about yourself?
Yes.
And about what you wanted and about what you needed in life to really thrive?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I did a lot of work. A lot of work. I actually, I wanted to be financially sound because I had three daughters at the time. So three teenage daughters at the time. So
you have four kids in total?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, James. So I have a 20-year-old, 17-year-old, 16-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
Oh, good for you. I want to get back to that question, but is raising a 2-year-old in this day and age easier than it was before, or is it exactly the same or harder?
Oh, it's so much worse. I'm too old now, James, and I've had a life. I had my kids very young. And so, you know, I didn't have a life before having children. I just went straight into being a mom. And now there's been a lot of time that's passed, you know, 14 years in between the two, you know, the youngest daughter and my little boy. And because of those 14 years, I was able to get a life and start living my life. And then now it's like, it's kind of, you know, it's been an adjustment to have another baby that, I mean, he literally needs me to eat. He literally needs me for water, you know, for basic survival. So it's different. Yeah. Love it, but it's different.
It's weird. Your older kids must love having a baby, though, I imagine. A new one in the family. Is that right?
Yes. And he's the first boy, and he basically has four moms. It's a lot of fun. He's a lot of fun. We joke all the time about we would be so bored. We would just stare at each other if we didn't have little Ezra to watch. You know, he's our entertainment.
Oh, good on you. But let me go back. Let's finish the thought. So, you know, we were talking about remarrying and what you found out about yourself from the divorce that you wanted in a new relationship.
Right. So I made a goal to spend at least a year diving into, and I don't mean this in a negative way towards him, but diving into what made me pick someone that was not going to be right for me. You know, I focused all on myself. Like, why did I choose that? Whereas I think some people get out of a divorce and they just want to point the finger at the other person, forgetting that you married that dude or that woman, you know, like you picked that. Why do you pick that? Why did you pick that? And so I got myself financially secure. I actually worked five different jobs to pay off all of my debt so I would never have debt again, so I could make good choices with men and not have to depend on a man. And then I got my career on track, made sure my kids were great. And then during that time, I did a lot of journaling. I did a lot of reading books on what makes us choose our mate. I journaled on what I'm looking for in a man, what I would want long term. And then I'm a spiritual person. So I prayed and I just waited. And then there was a time where I started a little first date frenzy and kind of interviewed men for the position.
So did this one rise to the top? Did they get they got the job? Is that what you're saying?
Clearly. Unless he beat me over the head and tricked me in some way.
you chose well, apparently. So that's congratulations. That's really good. It's interesting though that you had to go to a dark spot before, and this is both in your fitness and in your love life. You had to go to a dark spot before you could figure out what makes you tick, right? So What was the biggest learning about yourself that you got out of it?
The divorce.
All the learning you got out of the divorce, like when you said you read books and you looked at what you wanted.
You do ask hard questions. I love it, but you do ask good ones. I think that the biggest thing is knowing your worth. And I think this could translate into anything because, you know, being brought up with cerebral palsy, and it doesn't have to be cerebral palsy for you, but being brought up and maybe you have some kind of a shame, like sometimes some kind of a thing where you look at yourself as not as worthy as the next person for whatever reason. And then someone comes along and you're like, oh, this person loves me. Let's do this, without ever taking a step back and saying, but do I love this person? Is this person good for me? And I think that that comes from a place of like knowing your worth. And so the more we know who we are and what we deserve, the better choices we can make. And so I think that that was probably, I've had a lot of learning from that, but that was probably the biggest one and the most practical one that kind of helped me.
Amber, that was a brilliant answer. Good answer.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, I do want to get to your Fit Ladies Bootcamp. Okay. You said earlier, you talked about body shame, and this is sort of the inspiration behind Fit Ladies Bootcamp. Tell me a little bit more about why it's important that we have pride and why it's important that we start taking care of our bodies. Is it for the mental space or the health, or what is the driving factor behind that?
Gosh, I believe it's everything. And so, for example, my grandparents, two of my grandparents died at a very early age from heart disease. They had diabetes. They were severely overweight. I'm from Louisiana. And so that is a place where they're very Cajun. They eat very good food and they also eat a lot of it and they gain a lot of weight. And unfortunately they die early. And so, you know, I've had fitness DNA tests done and things like that on myself. And obesity does not run in my family, but yet my family has had it. And so I want to live a long life and I want to help other women live long, healthy, great lives. And so some of that, you know, comes from watching my family die early, watching my, you know, my father has diabetes. My father has a lot of health issues and he's not very old. And so I think it translates to that, but let's be honest, James, like the more physically fit you are, the better marriage you're going to have. I mean, that is a real thing. If you feel sexy, you're going to show up sexy. Yep. And if you feel yuck, you're going to show up yuck. And it will affect your marriage. It will affect your life with your children. It will affect everything. It literally affects all of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the single thing you can do. And I'm going to make an argument here, but it's the single thing you can do to improve your life in all aspects, even more so than money. I'm going to make that argument is you would rather be fit than have a ton of money, right? It's interesting because I had a family friend and we went on his private yacht, which all sounds very romantic. And he gave us wine from his wine collection, private wine collection, which also sounds romantic because it was. But here's a caveat. He couldn't drink any of it because he had health conditions. But how sad is that, right? At the end of the day. So sadly, he is no longer with us. But I think that you bring up a really good point, though. Let me ask you this question, because you said that your parents, do you try to help your parents with their health?
That's always fun, trying to help your parents in any area of their life, right? You're the daughter, they're the parents. And that role is really hard to reverse. And we're dealing with a lot. I have three sisters. So me and my three sisters are dealing with a lot right now with my father and trying to help him make good decisions. But, you know, unfortunately he hasn't, he just didn't put this into place at an earlier age. And so I think food addiction is a real thing. And, you know, so that's, you know, he has diabetes. And so that's one of the things that we really try to help him with is, you know, check on him and, are you not eating? Don't eat cake today, Dad. You know, that kind of thing. And so, yeah, we do what we can. I mean, he's still on his own. He's doing okay. But, you know, it's one of those slippery slopes I think he's on right now, health-wise.
Yeah. That is really tough, isn't it? Especially being so passionate about what you do, when it's hard because you don't want to preach, especially to your own parents, isn't it? And but you care for them deeply. So you, out of anybody there, maybe next to your kids, that's who you want to make change, right? And it's kind of I can see the difficulty. Tell me about Fit Ladies Bootcamp.
Yeah, so like I said, I believe anyone has 20 minutes a day. And to be honest, that's where I started. So Fit Ladies Bootcamp has been, at this point, been in business for 1 year. And before that, I was a one-on-one personal trainer. And so I've done this for a while, but the bootcamp itself came about a year ago. I have a 2.5-year-old little boy. And like I said, hypothyroidism, gaining weight. I had trouble losing it. I didn't have my family because I'm a military spouse. So I had moved far away from my family for the first time ever in my life. And so I didn't have a babysitter for my son to go to the gym. I felt almost hopeless at that point because I just felt like I couldn't stick to anything. I didn't have the energy. I was on the medicine for hypothyroidism, but I still didn't have my energy back. I was getting up in the middle of the night with the baby. There was just it was just like a yucky storm that I had to go through. And so I told myself, I'm going to work out for 20 minutes a day. I'm not going to tell my husband, you know, he's this buff gym military guy. I'm not going to tell my kids. I'm not going to say anything to anyone. I'm just going to get up, put Ezra in a stroller, go on a little run, come back and do 100 squats, 100 push-ups. And that was a lot for me, but it was doable because before this I was weightlifting, I was bodybuilding. So it was for someone else, it may be you walk a half a mile and you come home and do 40 squats and 40 push-ups or 10 push-ups, you know? And so I picked something just hard enough, but something that I could do every day. And that would take me around 20 minutes. And I said to myself, if I can do this for 30 days, then I can see some progress. And then I did. I did it for 30 days. My family caught on, you know, day 14, or like, you're doing this pretty consistent. And so I said to myself, what if there was a community? What if there was someone telling you exactly what to do every day, holding your hand through it, a community of women that would support? I mean, I had never lived away from my family. And so to have support on the weight loss journey would have meant the world to me. I would have paid any amount of money to have that, to have real support. I'm not talking about, you know, that phony stuff out there. I wanted real support. I wanted someone to tell me what to do every day. And I wanted a way to eat healthy that wasn't going to mess up my family's life. Yeah. And when I started getting the weight off, people started asking me, what are you doing? How is this working for you? And I said, I'm going to put together a program. And I had a bunch of people jump in the first month. That was, you know, a year ago. And from there, we've just grown. And I've tried to make it better every month. But it's basically a workout a day that's 20 minutes long, a full-length video, and then a healthy dinner recipe every day. And inside the community, there's also challenges and fun and different ways to interact with people, but it's a supportive community of women who literally want you to do better. It's, you know, I've done hardly any advertising. It's all grown organically. So, you know, your mom, someone may invite their mom, and then their mom may invite their aunt, and then the aunt may invite the neighbor down the road. And so it's all like-minded women that want to see each other succeed.
And it's super affordable. Right? You can just tell, you can just say the price online. And this, by the way, I have to put a rider here, subject to change at any time without notice and so on and so forth. But what is the price right now?
Well, the price is right now $47 a month.
Right.
And we're working on some fun things to add more value. And so there may be a price increase, but right now that's where we're going to open up next time we open.
But it's amazing, right? It's $1.50 a day. That's what it is. $1.50 a day. And I'm not trying to sell this because you and I have a joint venture partnership, because there's not, I'm trying to sell this because this is something people need, right? They need physical health, but more than that, how important, and you can answer this better than anybody else, how important is environment around you? Having a bunch of people who have gone through the struggle, who have been there and said, that's really hard, but that's going to make a difference, right? Think about your father and his environment. Part of the reason why he's addicted to food is because the environment in which he grew up, right? You talk about Louisiana, you talk about cultural norms. Here you bring together a group of, and I'm going to call them exceptional people, because when you work out, when you have the discipline and the capacity to work out every day for yourself, that is exceptional in of itself. And you're bringing together all these people to do that, right? That's life-changing. Is that worth $47 a month, Amber?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worth way more than that. Let's be honest, right? But that,
I'm sure my father's diabetes medicine is costing him more than $47 a month at this point. So, you know, it's like you pay now for your health or you pay later in a much yuckier way.
Yeah. If you're new, what would you say to someone who's new? And they're kind of, you know, I want to take care of myself, but I don't think I have the time, or I haven't worked out in forever. Like, what would you say to that person?
I would say, if you're outside of my group, I would say find a 10-minute, a 15-minute, a 20-minute low-impact workout that you can start with and have a goal that's realistic. Maybe it's 2 to 3 days a week. If you're inside my program, then we have you taken care of there. So I point you daily to the beginner workouts that you need to start with, and then I help you level up. So even though it's a group program, it is a structured system to get you going full force.
Yeah, and let's be honest, like it's interesting, right? How many times, let's say you have something in there, and you know Amber, and you say, run 5 miles. Let's assume it's there, okay? Which I don't think you do, but let's say it's run 5 miles, right? And someone who has never run before runs 4 miles and stops and can't do anymore and says, oh, I failed. It's not a failure, is it?
No, absolutely not. And that's what I tell. And so there's so much mindset that I think needs to be in place, especially when you start out, but to be honest, to just keep going in the physical fitness journey. I mean, it is a constant struggle, you know? Something that's easy to do, like 20 minutes a day, is also easy not to do, because you can think to yourself, what is the point? And so during my workouts, I throw these things, and I'm just talking because I'm a talker, James, but I've had women come to me and say, Amber, what you said in our workout last week, they'll message me, what you said in our workout last week helped me on my job. Like, I kept thinking about that saying that you said, and it just applies to everything in life. And I think that when we can have our mindset shifted during a workout, then it's just so much easier for us in life altogether. And so during my workouts, maybe I'll say, okay, guys, this is a halfway point. We're at 12 minutes, and this is like, has been a great workout. If you are a beginner, I want you to stop right now, pat yourself on the back. And if you can't go anymore, that is okay. You did great today. And then if you can keep going, let's keep going. But I think that if we can learn to reward ourselves, if we can learn to look at what we have done and how far we have come, it makes a huge difference in our ability to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. What is your favorite thing about this? If you were to choose one favorite thing, what would it be?
About my boot camp? Mm-hmm. Helping women have confidence again.
Yeah. Your product is not fitness. Your product is confidence. The tool that you use to get there is fitness, right? So good on you for doing that. The world needs more Amber. And I mean this, the person, not the stone. I know there's stone too. I want to get to your 3 points, but final question for you before we get to your 3 points to thrive. You say you read a lot, right?
Yes.
What is one book you love, you adore, you are inspired by?
You know, your first is always the most special. So I think that the first personal development book I've ever read were the 7 Habits of a Highly Effective Human or Person. I don't know. Yes. I have it somewhere behind me. Stephen Covey, yes. And that, to me, set the foundation for personal growth.
Mm. You still follow all 7 things?
Yes. And I still read it probably once a year. I make sure to pull it out and and read it. I made my kids read it.
Good for you. Yeah. Not the 2-year-old though. Is that the 2-year-old bedtime material? Start them early.
You know, I heard this is off topic, but I hope that's okay. I heard someone say one time that they don't pay their kids to take out their trash, but they pay their kids to read personal development books.
Yeah.
Because no offense to a janitor, they didn't want their kids to be a janitor. They wanted their kids to be a successful, you know, whatever. And so I pay my children $20 a personal development book that they read, write me a summary on, and tell me how they're going to directly apply it to their life starting now.
Good for you. Because let's be honest, like it's an underrated thing. Like self-development is underrated, right? Because where do we get all the motivation from? Where do we get all the work ethic from? The mind, the heart, right? The soul. And so why don't we start this process earlier? I don't know why. You know, it's one of those weird things that I do not understand, Amber. It's almost like we don't get into personal development until we all hit rock bottom. And then you're like, oh, there must be a better way. And then you go into, and you're like, where has this been all along? I think I started my first one when I was 38. This is only like 3 years ago. It's not that long ago. Well, and I haven't been on a tear, but it's been a big change.
What was your first book, James?
Actually, I did a workshop. I did a seminar for what's called Clear Mind, which is basically a Landmark ripoff. But it made a big difference. Do you know why? Here, sorry, I know. I'm totally taking over the interview. It's your fault, Amber. It's my fault. I just want to talk on about. But it's because for a long time we try to be successful by being somebody who we are not, and that is the best thing. The single best thing about personal development is you learn to embrace your strengths and your character, right? Instead of trying to be somebody else, you're trying to take yourself, whatever your strengths are, and you enhance them. I don't know if you agree with me. You don't have a choice, Amber.
I agree. No, yeah. I absolutely agree. And it makes a difference. And I wish I would have started it earlier. And that's why I did with my kids. And my daughter was telling me the other day, so she gets all of these like influencer brand deals, my 20-year-old. And so she has like all of her college clothes paid for. And she has like, she has all these different revenue sources coming in.
That's amazing. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. I want to be like her one day. But
we all do, don't we? We also all want to be 23 or however old she is again, right?
Exactly. But she told me, she said, you know, I've learned how to write these applications. I've learned how to apply for these opportunities by one of the books you had me read, Mom, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And she said, if you always put the person that you're speaking to needs ahead of your own, and that comes off in your writing, then you're almost always going to get the position. And so that's something she read when she was maybe 12 or 13. And here she is 20 years old, reaping benefits from that. Yeah. So it's huge.
It's amazing, right? Especially when you think about how tumultuous the teenage years were. And I'm sure they're more tumultuous now. How about a little self-confidence in what you do? How about just saying, you know what? I cannot affect what they think about what I just said. I can only affect what I get from their reaction. Anyways, little things like that. I know we're getting into philosophical here, but let's hear about your three steps. So team listeners, as you know, every week I bring on something super interesting and successful. And we talk about the three tips to improve either themselves or their business. So Amber, the floor is yours.
All right. So my first step I've always made myself take is accept 100% responsibility. And so you can't always accept responsibility for what happens to you, for example, being born with cerebral palsy, but you can accept 100% responsibility with what you do with it. And so, you know, some people may grow up with more money than the other person, but that doesn't mean that the person who grew up poor can't outwork the person who grew up with money. And so when we take 100% responsibility for our life, where it is exactly right now, like where you are right now in life is a direct reflection on the choices you took to get you here. And when I can learn that, then I can say, okay, I can't blame my ex-husband. I can't blame my mother, my father. All I can say is what's next? What choices can I make to have a different outcome in the future? So that's the first thing. The second thing is I believe wholeheartedly in writing your goals out every single day. I write my goals out every single day. I do not allow myself to change them. And so it keeps it very fresh in my mind. I know exactly what I want to be, what I want to accomplish. And then when life starts hitting you out of nowhere and all these other things come in your life that are trying to take your time and your attention, you're centered and you're grounded and you're focused. Does this support any of my goals? And if it doesn't, then you don't have to deal with them right now. Right. And so I think so much of our life is quote unquote busy. Like everyone wants to say how busy they are. We wear busy like it's this crown. Like I'm busier than you. That makes me better than you. But how productive are we? How much closer to our goals are we? And so at the end of the day, I don't want to say I was busy all day. I want to say I was productive. I hit my goals. I was focused on what is actually important to me. Because I know, you know, James, if you're not, then the time will pass. Like 40 years on this earth goes pretty quick.
It does.
And if you're not making every day count to move you towards your goals, and you know, then you can wake up 10 years from now and be in the same place or even worse of a place. Yeah. And so the way I ground myself is I believe in writing your goals out every single day. And then the third thing is work hard daily. You know, I love The Secret. I love The Law of Attraction. I love those things. And I think that there's a place for them. But I don't think that if I wrote out every single day, I want to be a billionaire. And then I turned on Netflix and ate potato chips and watched Netflix all day. I don't believe that someone's going to come into my life with a $1 billion check. I believe that we put our RAS, we put our subconscious into work when we write those goals out. And then we get into work. We start working hard. And so every day I ask myself, what have you done to get closer to your goals? Yeah. And so I don't ever want a day to go by that I'm not moving towards one. And one of my, it could be one of my goals is I want to be a phenomenal wife. I want to be a phenomenal wife. I can't control him. I can't say we're going to have a phenomenal marriage, but I can say I want to show up as a phenomenal wife. And so maybe that looks like having a Saturday where I never pick up my phone. Maybe that looks like having a Saturday where we, you know, have mimosas and hang out outside and do whatever he wants to do. Yeah, I have other goals, but did I get closer to that goal, to being a phenomenal wife? Yes. So the day can still be a success even when you're not working on business or physical fitness.
Yeah. Amazing.
Those are the three.
Amber, you are so cool. Tell me really quickly those three in order again.
Accept responsibility for your life. Write your goals daily. And then work hard on your goals every single day.
Yeah. And believe. Right?
Yeah.
I believe. If people wanted to get a hold of you, what is the easiest way for them to look at Fit to your bootcamp?
Yeah. So my website is fitladiesbootcamp.com. My personal page on Facebook is Amber Wise, and my business page is Wise Fit Life.
And Instagram, because the cool kids are on Instagram these days too.
Yes, I need to get cool. I am on Instagram though, Amber Wise - Fit Ladies Bootcamp.
Awesome, cool. Hey, it's been great having you on, and I know I asked you some hard questions, but I appreciate them, right? Because it's a chance for us to learn from your journey. So we talked a little bit about your upbringing, your cerebral palsy, your first marriage, your thyroid condition, your inspiration. Final thoughts for our listeners. What do you want to leave our listeners with?
That you can do hard things. I believe that wholeheartedly. I say don't quit when something's hard. That's when you dig in and you go after it if it's something you really want. And so that would be my final thought. Just remember, you can do hard things.
And remember, if you work hard at it and you get it, it makes it all that more rewarding, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome, team. Look, Amber, we're going to wrap it up there, but it has been a real pleasure to have you on the show. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, James. It was an honor to be here with you. I think the world of you.
Team, we're going to wrap it there. James with Three Steps to Thrive. Bring on Amber Wise, who has been awesome. Every week we bring on interesting and successful entrepreneurs, and we ask them three tips to improve themselves or your business. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please consider rating and reviewing the show. That is the easiest way we can get more small business owners, because let's be honest, small business owners make the world go round. You listen to one show, you pick up three tips, you listen to five, you get 15. Imagine how quickly your business can progress. Team, I appreciate each and every one of you as always. Same place, same time next week, and we'll talk to you then. Don't forget, if you love this podcast, please leave a review. One of my goals is to support as many entrepreneurs and small business owners as possible with these simple, actionable, and practical tips. My team and I spend countless hours finding great guests who are experts in their field, and these people 100% volunteer to be on this show. And one of the best ways to help other people find this podcast is with your review. So if you would be so kind and subscribe and leave a review, this show can get out to more people, and I would be forever grateful. So thank you in advance. Okay, guys, thanks so much once more for tuning in. See you next week, and have a great few days.